The news of the day. According to NBC4, out in Los Angeles, Memphis Grizzlies forward and 7-year NBA veteran Brandon Clark died in the San Fernando Valley on Monday. Law enforcement agents told NBC4 he was 29 years old. According to the LA Fire Department, who responded to a 911 call of medical emergency, he passed away at 5 p.m. yesterday. When paramedics arrived, they declared Clark dead. So we are remembering Brandon Clark. If you would like to weigh in, you are invited to do so. 901-445-0929. We go to Quinn in Orange Mound. Quinn, what's on your mind?
It's a sad day. It's truly a sad day here. Brandon Clark was a tremendous player. He was a true grit and grind, even with the next-gen generation. He was selfless and always left it on the court. We will remember him. I think it's going to be important for the fans and for the city and for the region and for the NBA community to wrap their arms around the Grizzlies community, the Grizzlies team and organization, especially our players and our front office, and let those guys know we're here for them and we love them and we support them. Go Grizz. Rest in peace, BC. We will retire 15, I believe, at some point.
Quinn, appreciate the phone call. Well said. We've also Kyle Anderson, also a former teammate, weighed in. He's got a picture up over on Instagram, I believe. It's Jaron, BC, and Kyle back when he was playing with the Heat. I'm so effing hurt, man. Really, my dog, my Virgo twin. I love you so much, brother. I wish I could have been there for you. I'm so effing hurt, man. And I think, Tim, the thing that stands out is that is just the prevailing sentiment is – just an absolute gut punch.
Yeah. I mean, there's no other way to put it, right? I know we've been saying a lot of the same things, but, you know, that's when something this tragic and surprising happens, there's no other way to kind of encapsulate, at all. And it is, I mean, I don't want to say it's good, but it's, I do like that we're hearing from folks and you know, given some memories of some of their favorite, you know, moments with Brandon Clark, and you know, just how much this hurts. I was, you know, a couple of clips are starting to make their rounds again, and you know, I saw a clip, I don't know how many years ago it was, of JJ Redick on his podcast before he became the head coach of the Lakers, talking about just how much he loved Brandon Clark as a player. He's like, he's one of my favorite players in the NBA, you know, and I think that's the tough thing, right? It's just, I mean, it's everything about it is so sad. And I'm sure you're going to, over the next couple hours and days, you're going to see outpouring and just tributes to him. You know, the guest we had last hour talking about Taylor Jenkins, you know, I imagine, you know, he's got to be torn up about this too. And I would think we probably will hear something from him in the near future. You know, with the combine going on right now, and you know, different people being in Chicago, I imagine we'll start to hear, you know, more thoughts and memories of Brandon Clark over, you know, soon enough.
A few of his obvious highlights, we've pointed out the Minnesota Timberwolves series back in 2022, where he was truly just an absolute force. He had the I think it was game 6 when he had 21 on 9 of 14 shooting. He had, I think it was something like 15 total rebounds. 9 came on the offensive end. I mean, he was just an absolute wrecking ball. I thought an underrated one right before the world changed, when COVID happened, the Grizzlies went into the All-Star break playing the Blazers, and it was a big home game. And it was kind of like the perfect moment for a young team where you can just hope as big as you want to, and the game results were not all that significant, but the team really started to play really well. Ja was starting to really flourish, and they played the Blazers right before going into the All-Star break, and coming off the bench, he had a career high 27. And it was one of those games where going into the All-Star break, you were thinking about this team was now playing their way into perhaps postseason contention, and just kind of the enthusiasm that surrounded the team. And he was just a huge part of it, because one of the consistent things that you're always just going to hear about is the positivity that he brought. I mean, he was always smiling, and you know, anytime you interviewed him, he couldn't have been more gracious. Always shook your hand, said, "Hey, I'm Brandon." You know, he always introduced himself first, which I always thought was funny. It's like, yeah, I'm aware who you are. But I mean, it's just a gut punch. And when you think about the juxtaposing it with just the enthusiasm that was just 36 hours ago and now this, and it's just sad. It's just really, really sad.
There was I think you retweeted it.
Yeah, Paris Sharkey over on Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, this was, you know, think about you. Anytime you hear about a young person passing, it's just so devastating and tragic, and you wonder, you know, why it happened. But I think as you hear these phone calls that have come in, he was here for 7 years, like you mentioned. His whole career was here, and he, you know, clearly made it a point to go be involved in the Memphis community, right? And Paris Sharkey retweeting his last interview that he had with Brandon Clark when he was at a school during Literacy Awareness Month, helping out via his foundation, Arise to Read. So, I mean, not only was he a great basketball player and had amazing moments and, you know, an amazing series, as we've touched on in the postseason, he was a fixture in your guys' community too. And I think that's, I don't want to say it makes it hurt worse, but it just makes it, you hear some of these interactions that people are having, like personal interactions, and you know, he was here for, you know, almost a decade, right? I mean, his whole professional career was here, was with you guys in Memphis.
I've also wondered, you know, you can't turn on a sporting event without being reminded of it's Mental Health Awareness Month, and all the stories that have been brought to light, like I welcome it. I also wonder though, like, do we do enough to help guys realize that, like, man, there's a life after this? Mm-hmm. And a guy like Brandon Clark, I mean, I gotta imagine media would have been thrilled to invite him into the world. And he could have done whatever he wanted in that, because he has an engaging personality. He's very good on a mic. And, you know, I just also wonder about, like, we do so much talking about mental health. And at the same time, like, I wonder, like, do we do enough of, like, helping these guys when they have injuries? And the injuries that probably mean you're not going to be the same player anymore. Like, you think about it, and I'm as guilty of it as anyone, but, you know, when a guy suffers an injury and he's not the same player, and you just kind of tend to write him off. And it's like, do we do enough? You know, they're do enough to, like, guide these guys to show that, like, hey, even if, you know, maybe even you're not getting another big contract, but there are other ways for you to stay involved in basketball. There are other avenues. Like, I that's kind of where I wonder. It's like, are we focused our efforts on all the right things, or are we more just focused on, hey, here's another puff piece to make us feel good that we're celebrating Mental Health Awareness Month, which I also think is kind of an oxymoron. It's like, are we celebrating it? Like, I mean, I don't know. I that's where I start to really wonder, because I can't dismiss the fact that this was such a difficult year for Brandon physically. Like, that's where I wonder. It's like, are we focused our efforts, like, in the right spaces?
Yeah. I mean, I think in one facet, you could say that we've certainly grown a lot with awareness of mental health, but you do wonder, especially when you're elite, like anyone who plays professional sports is, and you deal with these injuries and you can't do what you know you are capable of. Like, think about how much that has to weigh on you. And yeah, to your point, like, the expectation is, all right, we'll just go do something else, move on. It's like, well, they've worked pretty much their entire life to get to where they are. And then, for us, for so many people listening in, right, you enter a career and hopefully that career can last you 40 or 50 years. You know, there's an expiration date, and there are outliers of people who can play 15, 20 years. But the reality is, in your late 20s, you're probably going to have to be looking to move on. And then when you add injuries to it and just the frustration of your body, you just have to wonder about, what's going on up there. We don't know why and all of this happened, but, it's just, like you said, gut punch. It's sad. It's heartbreaking. And you wonder where, this young man was, the last few days of just how everything was coming together here.
Some of his career highlights, even going back to his time at Gonzaga after transferring in from San Jose State, where he had won the sixth man of the Mountain West sixth man of the year from the league's coaches. He then spent his junior season at Gonzaga. He became the third player in NCAA tournament history to record a game of 35 points alongside five blocks, joining Shaquille O'Neal and David Robinson as the only players to do so. He also broke a record in points scored in an NCAA tournament game for Gonzaga, surpassing a previous mark set by Adam Morrison. The Grizzlies selected him in the first round of the 2019 draft with the 21st pick. He was originally drafted by the Thunder, but that was a draft night trade for the Grizzlies. He also earned NBA All-Rookie First Team in his first year with the Grizzlies. He was also instrumental, as we mentioned, in that series against the Timberwolves. He recorded a 17.11 rebound game with five assists during the elimination game on which the Grizzlies eliminated the Timberwolves 114-106. That was the game six game. But he also had a massive game five of 21 points, 15 rebounds, nine of which came on the offensive end in game five. He then signed a four-year, $52 million contract with the Grizzlies in October of 2022. However, that season was when he would first suffer his first significant injuries, in which he had a torn Achilles against the Nuggets. He then, in the 24-25 season, had 64 appearances, including 18 starts, averaging 8.3 points per game, five rebounds, and an assist. However, he was ruled out the remainder of the season with a PCL sprain right before the Grizzlies went into the postseason. He, of course, had the injury-plagued season this year. And we are, again, dealing with the news that, according to Priority Sports, his agency, that Brandon Clark has passed away at the age of 29. According to NBC4 in LA, the death is being investigated as a possible drug overdose. We will continue with the news of the day, but before we do that, I want to remind you that if you're thinking about selling your home, and maybe you've been thinking about doing it the easy way by taking an instant cash offer and selling your home as is without any hassles, before you do that, call my buddy Josh Hysaw and his team at Keller Williams Realty. The number is 901-461-8147, because if you call Josh before you take that instant cash offer, he'll get you an instant cash offer, but this time it's going to be worth your home's market value. So many of those offers that you see, billboards, the unsolicited text, everything that you will get reaching out to you, hey, sell your home to me. Don't do that. Call my buddy Josh, especially if time is of the essence. He'll get you a full fair market value for your home. However, if you want to sell your home the traditional way, he's happy to do so for you as well. His outstanding marketing plan allows him to be so confident that he can sell your home that he guarantees it. The website is joshhasthebuyers.com. joshhasthebuyers.com. You can even take up to 4 months to hand over the keys. So again, if you're thinking about selling your home the quick and easy way, don't do so by taking one of those offers until you call my buddy Josh Hysall, 901-461-8147. Back after this, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The sad news of the day is that the Memphis Grizzlies have confirmed that Brandon Clark has passed away at the age of 29 years old. NBC4 in LA is reporting that the death is being investigated as a potential overdose. So we are remembering Brandon Clark here today, and I normally hate when people do this, but this is the last time that I spoke to Brandon Clark, at least officially on the airwaves. This was an interview that we did at Media Day, I believe 2 Media Days ago. This is the last time that I spoke with Brandon.
Hey, Brandon, let's start first.
Yeah.
What was different last year?
Different. I don't know if anything was different. Maybe just the you mean of me or the team?
For you individually, you know, obviously the fast start year one, year
for
two,
sure.
you battle through injuries and some difficulties. But last year it felt like a return to form.
Yeah, I think just kind of like you said, it just getting back to my basics, getting back to my body, feeling great every day, getting just kind of finding out those things to keep me on the court more, how to not get hurt, how to get stronger. You know, I trained very hard. I made sure that my body was pretty much ready for the long year. Also just having a better mindset, I think. Just having the mindset that, you know, I'm going to go out there and be me every night. I'm going to go out there and bring the, like, energy in the fight and just have, like, fun with it. I found new ways to have fun with it, really. And I think it just led to having, like, a better season overall.
That's interesting to me because the thing that really stood out in the Timberwolves series in particular – obviously, it was a big series for you just in general, and many people are pointing to, hey, that was the difference in the series,
but
it was very obvious on your face. It felt like there was a moment where you could sit there and go, oh, he's having fun playing basketball.
Yeah.
How much does that series, does that kind of give you a different perspective on basketball moving forward?
You know, that was my first time, you know, having a real, like, playoff basketball battle, and, like, that's what I've, you know, looked for forever. That's what I, you know, every day training from when I was, like, 7 years old, I'd be watching NBA playoffs, and I'd be like, oh, if I was here, like, I can tell, like, how big of a jump it is in terms of just being more focused and being more locked in and just overall having, like, extra fun, really. So, yeah, I just think that, you know, NBA is fun, but playoff basketball just a much, much higher stakes. So I think overall I just really, really wanted to win. And just, I think that when that happens, I can just kind of get really locked in and just have fun with it.
Can you feel that on the floor? Because, like, the thing that's interesting to me is I think fans can feel in a building, like, they can feel the stakes and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I've always wondered, though, as a player, does it feel different in a game other than, you know, more people are there and more, there's more tension? But can you actually feel playoff intensity?
Yeah, definitely can. You know, the fans definitely I think that everybody just in the building knows that the game is higher stakes. Like, the fans know, the players know, the coaches know. Like, everybody's locked in, like, from the fan base to us. Like, we've watched, like, a bunch of film. We know exactly what every player is, like, going to do. Like, we know, like, how to win, and we know how they're trying to win. And you're really playing for, like, something more than just, like, a regular season game. And, you know, having to play a team in, like, a best-of-seven series can be a really, like, crazy thing. So I think that having the fans, you know, be so loud and having everybody, the coaches, having everybody so locked in with you. And, like, and plus it's not just that. It's your, like, family and friends back at home, too. Like, they all get how, like, big of a series or how big of a time it is for you. So, just, like, all of that adds into, like, just the great, like, energy that comes with these games.
I've always thought one of the more interesting aspects of playoff series is, do you ever get sick of playing the same team? You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's
tough.
I just kind of wish we could play someone in between them and then move on.
Yeah, I mean, that was my first year really having – because I didn't really play much versus the Jazz in my second year, so – you know, having a game plan for a team and then having to make changes every game and having to see what they do, it's really like a battle of, like, chess kind of.
Yeah.
Like, you really just got to, like, be careful which pieces that you put out and all this stuff. And it can definitely get tiring. Like, it can get tough, like, having a guard. You know, I was like, oh, man, I have to guard Curry 6 straight games for, like, 2 straight weeks. And, like, it's definitely tough. But I think it's just a part of basketball. Like, it's something that you really don't know what it's like till you're there. So I think watching the playoffs, I didn't realize, like, you know, how it was really going to be kind of, like, in terms of actually playing it.
No, because we like to have fun on the show how, mm-hmm. you know, playoff basketball becomes the adjustment. And then we always laugh how it's the adjustment to the adjustment, the adjustment. But there very much is that aspect that you're right. It's, you know, they get to make a move. You have to make it respond and make a move. But I think the thing that was interesting to me last year, and I'm curious to know if you felt this way, it felt like the playoffs started to feel like the playoffs again. Mm-hmm. Because obviously during the bubble, that's its own thing.
For
then,
yeah, that was its own thing.
And then, you know, as you mentioned, the with the play-ins tournament, and then you have the series in Utah, it was a fuller house, but did it feel to you more, did it feel different like last year? Because it did to me, but it's also could have easily just been like, hey, the intensity was there.
It definitely felt different. I think just with the league's kind of been through a lot with the whole COVID thing and with guys being out, fans being gone, all the changes that were made to the to everything really. So it definitely felt more like playoff basketball, like old fashioned playoff basketball. Like we're all like, you know, the fan, like the whole place is like filled out, sold out, all that stuff. So definitely for me, it felt like, you know, this was finally like we're back to normal and like this is it now. So yeah, definitely went through a lot, you know, just being like all the COVID stuff from the bubble to all that stuff, like
getting tested every single day.
Yeah, getting tested, like getting your nose pricked every day. It's like it was definitely like necessary, but it was real different for us players and definitely was a big challenge. So I think it's kind of fun to kind of get past that.
Has this off season felt more like a return to normal? Like just forget the whole, you know, like we said, like all the other aspects, but just the schedule has been so condensed, and, you know, it's getting caught up from the bubble and then whatnot. Yeah. Has this felt like a normal offseason to you?
Yeah, I think this was the first, like, regular offseason I felt like that I had. Because my first year was, like, just COVID offseason, that didn't count. And then the second year, it was shortened because we had so much time off after my first rookie year and the whole, like bubble thing. So it definitely felt more like, you know, a lot more chilled, not as rushed. I felt like it was a lot more rushed like last year, and definitely just felt more normal.
Does your body feel better? Because, like, I've always have to imagine that when everyone talks about an offseason, it's like the one thing that's got to be nice is you got to rest again.
Yeah, definitely, you know, took a pretty good time to rest after the playoffs. You know, body and mind were both tired. But then, you know, it's also like this is like the time to get stronger, really. This is time to work on your base of strength, time to work like on your game. So it's always good to take that like break, but then you really got to come back in and like really lock into your body and all that stuff.
Last thing, how does the impact of last year, you know, the team that knocks you out is the team that ends up holding the trophy?
Yeah.
How does that motivate an entire group for a year? Because on one hand, I kind of think it would suck seeing that.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of – it's like – it, like, sucks, but then you're like, oh, well,
at least – we were close.
Yeah, at least we lost to, you know, the team that ended up having the best season. I think that we learned a lot from them. They're a very, very, like, veteran team. They definitely knew how to get past the second round. I think that's what we didn't really know. Like, they definitely, like, were ready for everything. They've seen it all. They've seen so much in these past, like, since, like, 2015. So they were – I think we learned a lot from that. And yeah, I think it was, you know, I didn't love to see them win, but, you know, it made sense, though. I could tell that they were, like, locked in and that they were ready for their journey of, like, the year. Like, and, after they beat us, I definitely thought that they were going to end up winning it all. And, you know, after the first game versus Boston, I wasn't sure, but I think they just know how to win playoff series.
And then we'll wrap here. Obviously, with Jaren being on the sideline to start the year, do you feel like this is a big opportunity for you?
Yeah, I mean, always. I mean, I do love playing with Jaren, but, you know, I'm always ready for, like, whatever coach needs, whatever the team needs, whether that's starting, coming off the bench, whether it's whatever I have to do. Like, I'm just here to play basketball and add to the team. And, yeah, I'll pretty much do whatever is asked for me.
Brandon, we really appreciate it, buddy. This is great.
Of course,
man.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Brandon Clark back at Media Days in the 22-23 season, as I recall. And Tim, like, there's always kind of the weird thought of like playing an interview in which all you're doing is just talking about basketball. And You know, is that even what matters today?
I don't think it does. But that's who he, you know, part of who he was, not who he was, but part of, I mean, his story, as we discussed, and as, you know, some different stories are popping out there about, you know, just his involvement in the community, but it's also who he was. And he brought, as we heard a couple of the callers, he brought enjoyment to people in this city because of the way he played the game that he loved, you know, and, yeah, I mean, you think back to that interview and, you know, I'm sure he wanted to get back to it, right? I mean, the injuries are...
And I think that's a part of the story, man.
I think so, too.
You know, like, you just can't divorce yourself from the fact that, like, the injuries were going the way that they were. I mean, I think back to, you know, the conversations after the last injury. It's like he's coming up on a contract year and, you know, is... The you know, this team's clearly moving on, so, you know, I got to think that questions of his future are in his mind, and then you got your questions about your future when your body doesn't feel like you can do what you want to. Like, I feel like that has to be a part of the story for him.
Yeah. No, I think there's no doubt. And you, yeah, you wonder, yeah, how much that did play into everything. As it came to a close here in the reports that you've discussed from, you know, NBC out in Los Angeles about everything, you know, what was found at the site on Monday. So, yeah, you do wonder if that did play a factor into his final days.
All right, let's take one more break. We will continue, of course, the news of the day that we have lost Brandon Clark at the age of 29 years old. We'll talk about all that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 99FM, ESPN. Memphis Grizzlies forward Brandon Clark has died. The team and the sports agency Priority Sports announced on Tuesday he was 29 years old. The outpouring of support and tributes include the following. From Priority Sports, we are all beyond devastated by the passing of Brandon Clark. He was so loved by all of us here and everyone whose life he touched. He was the gentlest soul who was the first to be there for all of his friends and family. Our hearts are so broken as we think about his mom, Whitney, his entire family, and all of his friends and teammates. From high school to San Jose State to Gonzaga to the Grizzlies, Brandon impacted everyone who was a part of his life. Everyone loved BC because he was always there as the most supportive friend you could ever imagine. He was so unique in the joy he brought to all of those in his life. It's just impossible to put into words how much he'll be missed. We love you, BC. The Grizzlies also offered their support. We are heartbroken by the tragic loss of Brandon Clark. Brandon was an outstanding teammate and an even better person whose impact on the organization and the greater Memphis community will never be forgotten. We expressed our deepest condolences to his family and loved ones during this difficult time. Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, said in the following in a statement, "We are heartbroken by the tragic loss of Brandon Clark. Brandon was an outstanding teammate, an even better person whose impact on the organization and the greater Memphis community will not be forgotten. We express our deepest condolences to his family and loved ones during this difficult time." There were also other support from former teammates. Kyle Anderson had an Instagram post. "I'm so effing hurt, man. Really, my dog, my Virgo twin. I love you so much, brother. I wish I could have been there for you. I'm so sad. I'm so effing hurt, man." Kendrick Perkins also said on X, "Damn, this hurts my heart. Rest in paradise, Brandon Clark." Patrick Beverly, "Man, prayers up to Brandon Clark family. NBA is a brotherhood. Damn." Kendra Andrews, Malika's sister, "This is heartbreaking news. I had the pleasure of getting to know Brandon as a classmate at Gonzaga and always had the loveliest interactions with him. My thoughts are with his friends and family." Bradley Beal, "Damn, man. Rest in peace, B. Clark." The Warriors also sent out their condolences to Clark and his family, as well as the Grizzlies organization, as did the Cleveland Cavaliers. We also have gotten a few other former teammates reaching out. Jalen Wells released the following on Instagram. Everything he's went through in the time that I've been in Memphis, he still came in with a smile on his face and was a light in the locker room. Truly an inspiring person. Memphis won't be the same without you. Rest in peace, BC. We also got a response from Jake LaRavia, who on Instagram also said, devastating, heartbroken. Rest in peace, BC forever, my locker room bud. Marcus Spears had the following. I'm absolutely heartbroken to hear the news. Brandon Clark was a gentle giant, an amazing man that I met when he was at San Jose State University. Brandon went from barely being recruited to earning his way to the NBA. My condolences and prayers to his parents and family. Good man, gone too soon. Lamar Stevens also said, one of my favorite teammates and people ever. Heartbroken, fly high king. Chris Broussard also writes in prayers and condolences going out to Brandon Clark's family and loved ones. And Tim, while it's no solace, I mean, I do think it's important to note that, man, when everyone, you know, in this day and age of suckiness online, like when everyone just has nothing but positive things to say about you, like somebody did something right.
Yep. No, and, you know, as we learn more about what happened, it doesn't change the fact that clearly while he was here, he was an impactful person, right?
And absolutely.
You know, and that's always, it's always one of the hardest things when you obviously lose someone and lose someone at the age that Brandon was. But you even think about it, you know, we do all the tributes and embrace people when they pass, and sometimes you forget to embrace them while they're here. But clearly, as I'm sure, and this is so fresh, as the news just became official, you know, while we were on the air, you're going to continue to hear the outpouring, and I'm sure here on the station, as we go later into the day, you're going to get reactions from players, coaches, friends, and whatnot. So, yeah, I mean, I think we've kind of continue to say, well, you know, what I think we're all feeling is just the devastation of a young person who clearly meant so much to so many, you know, is gone at just 29 years old.
The Grizzlies officially got the rights from the Oklahoma City Thunder to draft Brandon Clark back in the 2019 draft, 21st overall. He led the Grizzlies in summer league with four double-doubles. He was named the most valuable player of the 2019 NBA Summer League, becoming just the second non-American to win the award. He posted 15 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 blocks in the championship game to lead the Grizzlies to the Summer League title and earned game MVP honors, as well as becoming the first non-American to win championship game MVP and the first player in Summer League history to ever win both. He made his NBA debut on October 23rd, back in 2019, when the Grizzlies fell to the Miami Heat, 120-101, he posted 8 points, 7 rebounds. He had an assist and a block. On December 18th, he posted a career-high 27 points with 7 rebounds in a 122-126 loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder. He had then had 27 points alongside 6 rebounds and 2 steals in a 111-104 win over the Portland Trail Blazers. He was also named to the All-NBA Rookie First Team. The Grizzlies then exercised the team option on him for the 21-22 season, and he's had a season-high 21 points and 8 rebounds, as well as 5 assists and 2 blocks in a 115-110 win over the Brooklyn Nets, and that was the game that the Grizzlies qualified for the postseason for the first time since 2017 in the play-in. And on May 29th, he also played against Utah in the Grizzlies' first playoff series since 2017. The Grizzlies again picked up his team option back in 2021. And on January the 28th, Brandon had a season-high 22 points alongside 3 rebounds and a 119-109 win over the Jazz. And the Grizzlies qualified for the playoffs for the second straight season, where they faced the Minnesota Timberwolves during the first round series, a series that he was largely an instrumental part of, perhaps even the best player in the series. On April the 26th of that series, he recorded a playoff career high of 21 points and 15 rebounds, a 111-109 win in Game 5 over the Timberwolves. On the 29th, he recorded 17 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 blocks as the Grizzlies eliminated the Timberwolves from the playoffs with a 114-106 win in Game 6 before the Grizzlies were eventually dismissed by the Golden State Warriors. And then on October the 16th of 2022, Clark signed his 4-year, $52 million contract extension. And then on March 3rd of 2023, in a 113-97 loss to the Denver Nuggets, he suffered his first leg injury of his NBA career. And it was announced that he had a torn Achilles, ending his 22-23 season. He would appear in 64 games in the 24-25 season, averaging 8.3 points, 5.1 rebounds, and 1 assist. He was also ruled out for the remainder of the season on March 22nd with a PCL sprain. This year, he underwent arthroscopic surgery to address a knee issue, which was also suffered during off-season training. And then again, he had further injuries this year. So I think that is kind of the other part of the story is, you know, just how much of the latter half of his career was just greatly impacted by injuries.
Yeah. No, and, you know, as you put it all together, think about the success that he had, as you have discussed a couple of times, and even callers have pointed out, you know, just thinking back to some of the you know, playoff success and this, and the and the fact that he's just been dealing with injuries or dealt with injuries, you know, this year and in recent years, and you do wonder how much that played into to all of this.
The Memphis mayor, Paul Young, has also issued a statement. Brandon Clark represented everything this city loves: toughness, heart, humility, and resilience. He played the game with joy and gave our community so much to be proud of, both on and off the court. For so many Memphians, the Grizzlies are family, and Brandon was a part of that family. His impact reached far beyond basketball. Kids looked up to him, fans believed in him, and the city embraced him fully. On behalf of the city of Memphis, I want to extend my deepest prayers and condolences to Brandon's family, his teammates, the entire Grizzlies organization, and every fan that is hurting today. Just sucks, man.
Yeah. No, it does. I mean, it's, you know, and opening it up for calls, I thought, you know, hearing some of the different interactions that people had and memories that they had, those will continue to pour in. Doesn't make it any better. You know, people certainly grieve differently. We do have another statement, and they're all pretty similar. This from Andrea Iguodala, the Players Association Executive Director, and Fred Van Vliet, who is the PA President. "We are heartbroken by the tragic passing of our brother Brandon Clark. This is an incredible loss for the Brotherhood. We will remember Brandon not only for the immense joy he brought to so many throughout his career, but the genuine friendships he built far beyond basketball. Our deepest condolences go out to Brandon's family, friends, teammates during this difficult time."
A lot over on social media, including the CA has even done a photo review of Brandon Clark throughout the years. I mean, another reminder is, like, he does have awesome highlights because he was just such a high flyer, so bouncy, so springy. And, you know, you're just always left with just gone far, far too soon.
There's going to be, you know, I like you said, highlights and whatnot. And not sure who she's affiliated with. Lexi Ross just put out a video. She said, "I spent a lot of time with Brandon Clark when I was with the Grizzlies. I wanted to share this video that I captured. BC was always the first one to celebrate with his teammates. He was truly so happy to be on the court with his guys and share those moments." And it was, I think, after you might know the game. It was after a Ja game winner, looks like against the T-Wolves. And Clark immediately ran behind him, just kind of gave him a two-armed bear hug. So, yeah, once again.
That might have been the MLK game.
Okay.
Rob Fisher, of course, of the television broadcast, devastated by today's news. I don't even know what to say other than I'll miss BC. He was such a good person and teammate. Condolences to his family, friends, and teammates. Rest in peace, BC. Yes, I think I'm seeing the video. I'm pretty sure that's the MLK game that they played on TNT.
Hmm.
That was a big one. It's just such a... I mean, it's just, it's so, I mean, life moves quickly, but it's like, you know, Jaren no longer here. Ja's going to get traded. You know, Brandon's not actually with us anymore. Bane is gone. And I mean, you just look at them and see like how young they look. And man, it just sucks. All right. Let's see. Let's take a quick break, George. We'll rebuild one. Tim, we'll let you go. I know this was a tough day for you, my man. We didn't get to any of the things that we wanted to talk about, but we'll take a quick break, and we come back. We'll have some final thoughts on Brandon Clark as we get ready for the Gabe Kuhn Show coming up next. So stick around. You'll listen to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The news of the day is that the Memphis Grizzlies, Brandon Clark, has died at the age of 29 years old, according to his agency as well as team officials. A report from a Los Angeles NBC television station said that Clark was found dead in a home in the San Fernando Valley around 5 p.m. on Monday. The same report said drug paraphernalia was found at the scene. The Daily Memphian contacted representatives for the Los Angeles Fire and Police Departments, which cover the area, and said that they could not provide confirmation of the TV report. So it is just a brutal, sad day. I appreciated everyone that called in and had their memories of Brandon Clark. And I think it is just a reminder that as much money as they make, they still bleed. They're human beings. And I think oftentimes we forget that. We think of them more as robots and, why can't you do this? Why can't you do that? And today's one of those days that is a reminder that they are still human too. And I think the thing that is most encouraging is that when you see the outpour of love and support and everyone that had nothing but nice things to say about Brandon Clark, and maybe you'll get to take the opportunity to spend the afternoon going and watching him at his happiest. And what he was able to do best, which was play basketball, play with a lot of joy, play at a very high level, play with a lot of bounces and stuff, and play a lot of really, really fun basketball. So it is just absolutely a brutal, tough day. And I don't know what else to add other than it was quite the gut punch. And we, as well as everyone, extend all of our prayers and condolences to the Clark family, to everyone that knew him, to everyone that loved him, to everyone that's struggling and going through with this news today. You are in our thoughts and our prayers. I want to thank Tim Murray for being with us. It's not an easy day, especially when you're remote, not an easy day to pinch in, but I'm greatly appreciative of his support as well as George for all that he did behind the scenes. And again, for everyone for calling in. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.